very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it.
How many people, no, how many parents, I should say, have taken the time to truly and objectively, honestly investigate the critical vaccination danger issue now that we have peer-reviewed science study to prove conclusively that vaccinations are harming our children, harming us? And all of this being covered up by the medical industrial complex and the media industrial complex that serves them. A profoundly correct, accurate, and on-target quote from an individual who has dedicated himself to the fight for the greater good, to the fight for our children. Del Bigtree, producer of Vaxxed. Del said this: "The really sad thing is the amount of doctors who say to me, quote, I know that vaccines are causing autism, but I won't say it on camera because the pharmaceutical industry will destroy my career just like they did to Dr. Andrew Wakefield." From Del Bigtree. Something to think about. How can we look at our children and claim to care about them if we don't fight for their welfare, for their lives, indeed? This is Dane Wigginton with GeoengineeringWatch.org for the weekly Global Alert News Hour, July 29th, 2017. This is a commercial-free one-hour news program, as always, brought to you by GeoengineeringWatch.org. This show is broadcast on KQMS throughout Northern California. This show is broadcast on 1670 AM, 104.9 FM, and 105.7 FM. Global Alert News is aired also on the East Coast by the PRN Radio Network, Saturdays, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Recordings of the show can be found at geoengineeringwatch.org under the Radio, Recent, and Top Stories sections, and at the KQMS archives. Free materials on critical issues like climate engineering, vaccine dangers, and the 9/11 cover-up can be found at Orchard Nutrition. If you will please simply try to put those materials to work, we will try to continue to pass them on for free. Please help us to continue our work. Help us pass on this kind of data. Help us to sound the alarm. Due to the fact that there's so many breaking issues that need to be covered in this broadcast, I'll cover all the details on last evening's Northern California Free Public Awareness event on next week's broadcast. Former decorated CIA officer Kevin Shipp, who is here in Reading, was here for the event last night, will be on the Pete Peters Show, Freedom in Action, in the next hour. Kevin will cover some of those details, I'm sure. But there are so many breaking issues right now I want to get to. And the gravity and immediacy of what we collectively face on countless fronts is still not yet being realized by the vast, vast majority of the population that are buried in ideology and preconception and programming from the power structure's constant onslaught of media distraction. We must break that cycle. We don't have much time. The noose is being pulled around our collective necks, if you will. Thankfully, there are some people in the world that have shown tremendous courage and sacrificed all, and Julian Assange is one. And for those who criticize Assange, on what grounds would you possibly criticize someone who has risked everything, put everything on the line to try and tell the truth? That's someone who deserves our highest regard and recognition, and he has never given up. From Assange, quote, CIA not only armed Syria's insurgents, it paid their salaries. How much have I covered this type of story? Who is funding, fueling, and arming the terrorists? Those roads lead right back to our government in so many cases, and we have now more proof of that from Assange. Saturday on Twitter, Assange highlighted an article from Thursday where the Financial Times noted how many Syrian rebels are getting salaries from the CIA. What a surprise. And let's not forget John McCain's collaboration with ISIS leaders, which was captured on film for anyone to see if they care to investigate the truth. As with everything I report, I ask, please don't believe me. Please investigate it for yourself while you're waving your flag or getting caught up in the political nonsense on either side of the fence, the left-right false paradigm of total distraction that has so many people caught up in it. Wake up. This is what the power structure does to confuse and divide the population while the house is burning down around us. Break that paradigm. Doesn't matter what side of the fence you think you're on. We're all going down in the same boat together. This is like the cartoon that I've seen where a boat, the front of the boat is sinking with two men frantically bailing, and while the front is sinking, it tempts the back of the boat up out of the water, and the two men on the back of the boat say, "I'm sure glad our end of the boat isn't sinking." How absurd is that? And that's the sort of mentality that's prevalent now. It must be broken. Let's also not forget the fleets of Toyota trucks that ISIS uses that were funded by the Pentagon. And please, again, don't believe me. Investigate the facts for yourself. Let's continue with McCain because he's the epitome of the military-industrial complex of insanity. And whatever he did in whatever war, that has nothing to do with what he's doing now. You don't overlook someone's current crimes because perhaps they did something valiant at some time in the past. That's not okay. So let's look at the list of countries John McCain, in addition to collaborating, including with ISIS, their propagation, their funding, their support, let's look at the list of countries that John McCain has called to go to war against. And this comes back down to all the events that all tie together. Implosion of the biosphere, complete desperation of the military-industrial complex to acquire resources from whatever country they can put their boots on the ground in order to keep fueling the military machine, the military juggernaut of total insanity, because the people who fill the top tiers of power and the military are in many ways the most frightened, cowardly people on the planet. And they will do anything to try to keep their paradigm going, even at the cost of killing the entire planet. I hear that from so many people. Why would they, the proverbial they, and ultimately those roads lead back to the central bankers at the very top of the pyramid. Central bankers who print the money, who fund the militaries, who control countries. The most tyrannical, psychopathic, and fearful people on the planet. That's who's running the show. And they will do anything, again, to maintain their paradigm, to maintain their power, until nothing is left. So for those people who try to convince themselves or console themselves that the proverbial they at the top of the pyramid would not do this to themselves, that's not true. Drug addicts continue to take drugs until they die. Same is true with the addiction to power. It's worse. It's a void that can never be filled. And we have sat by as a population, especially in first world nations, have been pacified by material acquisition while the cancer in the military-industrial complex has grown to unimaginable proportions. So here we have back to McCain, warmonger for the military-industrial complex, countries he has called to go to war against, called us to go to war against, Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, Libya, West and Central Africa, Bosnia, Kosovo, Ukraine, Russia, North Korea, and China. McCain is psychotic, and those like McCain are psychotic. And the hypocrisy in this country is absolutely unimaginable. So what we condemn others for, we do on a scale 10 times larger. Here's a headline to back some of that up. Chinese fighter jets intercept U.S. Navy reconnaissance plane over East China Sea. This is just one more example. What would we do if Chinese reconnaissance jets were caught over U.S. territorial waters? What would we do? And back to the U.S. Navy SEALs that were caught in Iranian waters and released in less than 24 hours, and all the to-do that was made about that. What would our country have done if Iranian special forces were caught along our shorelines? What would we do? The hypocrisy in this country is absolutely beyond comprehension. And the willful ignorance also beyond comprehension. So back to headlines I'll get to in a moment. Biosphere implosion, all relating to the continued and completely out of control adventures of the military-industrial complex, taking down anyone, anywhere they can to acquire the resources they need to keep their machine going. What about some of the local so-called independent news sources that are fueling the societal division here in this country? And back to Trump, back to all the previous administrations and the way the power structure manipulates public perception of those administrations to maximize societal division. Trump certainly deserves the grand prize in that arena. He's a tool by the power structure, and tool the power structure is using to create maximum societal division. But Obama, in many ways, did the same. Clinton's, certainly we can't argue they're criminals. They should be in jail. Bush's, same. Same all the way back. No one occupies the office of the presidency that the power structure doesn't want there, or they would have been killed, like Kennedy was killed when they tried to actually do something that would, in many ways, stand against the power structure. Kennedy was taken out. So back to the independent news sources that are doing the same sort of exercising, I should say, the same sort of tactics as the power structure is. Here's a headline from a source that many believe is independent, but yet it toes the line in so many ways for the power structure, creating the kind of division I just spoke about. Here's the headline. Alex Jones calls for civil war against liberals. Now, there we're back to the false conservative, liberal, left, right, Democrat, Republican, false paradigm of division. So why do so-called independent sites buy into this idiocy? Well, the planet is imploding around us, something that those sorts of sites never allude to. In fact, they try to pretend there's nothing wrong with the planet, and anybody who thinks there is something wrong, because the frontline data makes that conclusion inarguable, such news sites ridicule that conclusion, as if we should all shove our heads in the sand and pretend the biosphere is not imploding when it is. From this headline, again, Alex Jones calls for civil war against liberals. In his radio show on YouTube and on his InfoWars website, Jones has been announcing that the United States is on the verge of a bloody second civil war, like the DJs in Rwanda, if you know anything about the Rwandan genocide, did before the genocide occurred there. Jones has been egging on his conservative listeners and viewers, an estimated 2.7 million people monthly, to kill more liberal fellow citizens over their political differences. Is that type of narrative not exactly what the power structure wants? Exactly. And the false, divisive tactic of liberals, Democrats, really there's only two kinds of people in the world or in the country, really? And all of this is based around mainstream media, total propaganda, and administrations, like all of the recent administrations, to systematically construct these dramas to divide the populations. And why are people who claim to be fighting for the common good fomenting that same divisive, false paradigm? Continuing, Jones is hardly alone in promoting this scary emerging narrative. The theme gained momentum after the shooting at the congressional baseball game last month. The day before the attack on June 13th, broadcaster Michael Savage, host of the syndicated show The Savage Nation, warned that there's going to be a civil war because of what this left wing is becoming in the country. After the baseball field shooting the next day, he said that he knows what's coming and it's going to get worse. Savage also said the shooting, that this blood is on Democrats' hands. Really, some nut goes in and shoots elected officials, and that's somehow the fault of people who wear a different political stripe? This sort of idiocy is why we're in such a dark corner. And do you hear these people? Do you hear Alex Jones or Michael Savage ever mentioning anything about, oh, by the way, the planet's not going to support life much longer? If we stay on this course, do they ever mention it? No, because their job is to distract you from what's really happening. Finishing from this report, on June 15th, Alex Jones warned, quote, "You kick off Civil War II, baby. You think Lexington and Concord was a cakewalk," end quote. Does such a statement sound like one that would be made by a reflective individual who has examined the facts? Not at all. The day before, Alex Jones implicated himself and his listeners by stating this, quote, "You're trying to start a civil war with people. You're taking our kindness for weakness. Do you understand the American people will kill all of you? You understand? ? We're killing machines, you fools, but I can shoot a bullseye at 400 yards, dumbass." That's Alex Jones' words, not mine. "I mean, they have no idea who they're messing with," end quote. Who would follow and consider credible anyone who would make such statements? I simply want to point out, if you're blindly following any such ideologically based power structure divisive mechanisms, you're a part of the problem. No one should follow anyone blindly. And this type of statement is clearly so parallel with the power structure efforts to divide populations. How hard is it to see through this? It shouldn't be hard at all. And if we don't start thinking for ourselves, investigating the facts, as I've always tried to encourage everyone, investigate the frontline facts. Don't believe anyone, investigate the facts. And that's not happening with so many people. I know so many people to which the facts don't matter to them at all. They've made up their mind and they don't want the facts. And that's a recipe for near-term global omnicide. And that is the road we are on. Another headline about Alex Jones. This is the biggest example I have, so I'm going to use it. Alex Jones states global warming is a hoax. Let's stop on that point for a moment. If you think there's nothing wrong with the climate system, you won't be able to stay in that denial for much longer. We're not just in a phase of anthropogenically induced global warming, which includes climate engineering, by the way. And how is it these people, so many, talk about or deny anything being wrong with the climate and never mention climate engineering? They never do. And the same is true in the climate science community. The hypocrisy is just as immense. How can they talk about global warming and not talk about climate engineering? Can't do it. On either side of the fence, both sides immensely hypocritical, both sides wrong. You can't have a legitimate discussion about the climate without discussing climate engineering, but for those who think there's nothing wrong with the climate or that think global warming isn't happening, we would be lucky, as I've stated in the past, if we were just entering a phase of global warming due to the damage we've done to the planet. We are free-falling into an abrupt climate shift that will become rapidly more evident in the next weeks and months. Continuing, I want to cover some headlines that relate back to the desperation of the fossil fuel industry, the military-industrial complex, both of which are joined at the hip. Their desperation for fuel to keep the current paradigm going until nothing is left. Here's the headline. U.S. smashes record. Highest production of the lowest quality fuel in the world. From that report, the United States smashes another fuel production record this year, which everybody's jumping up and down about. We're going to export some fuel. At what cost to the planet? And how much will that ensure that we have no future? That's where we're headed. The report continues. According to the U.S. Energy Information Agency, the EIA, our country produced over 1 million barrels per day of this liquid gold in the first 6 months of 2017. Unfortunately, this isn't something to brag about. It would be wise just to keep this record to ourselves rather than broadcast it loudly across the energy news wires and mainstream media. Why? Because the U.S. produced a record 1.02 million barrels per day of corn-based ethanol, the lowest quality fuel in the world. Corn ethanol's EROI, energy returned on invested. That's the net gain of energy compared to how much was invested to get it. It barely provides one full barrel of fuel for one barrel worth of energy that it took to produce it. An energy net negative. Farm subsidies this year are up 35%. So we're paying farmers subsidies to produce something that is an energy net negative. And if we consider this, the corn farmers received $3.7 billion in subsidies in 2015. This was 71% of the total $5.2 billion in farm subsidies, most of it. If we assume the federal government was going to pay $7 billion in 2016, then approximately 70% of that $7 billion for the corn farmers would be $5 billion. Now, if we also assume that the corn ethanol consumes 40% of the U.S. corn crop, then 40% of that $5 billion subsidy, or $2 billion, is going to subsidize corn ethanol production. This whole equation is completely absurd, that we are subsidizing farmers to turn our food into a very low-grade fuel at an overall net loss of energy. Absurd. And there's an even bigger example of this, the Canadian tar sands. It takes about 1.4 units of energy to get 1 unit of energy from the tar sands, a massive energy net negative. Why would we engage in that? Destroying the planet at an actual net energy loss, changing one form of energy, natural gas, to another, crude. So a very low-grade form of crude. But that shows the desperation of industrialized society and the military-industrial complex. And all this, by the way, leads back to climate engineering as well. because for the military-industrial complex, they need this fuel to fly the aircraft to try to mask the total damage being done to the climate while radically increasing that damage at the exact same time with the exact same operations. Definitions of insanity over and over. And for those going about their lives, buying their new cars with no down payment, no interest for 6 months or longer, just sign up and we'll give you a free car. And those using their homes for ATMs to fund their consumptive lifestyles right now and thus pretending they don't have to pay attention to what's going on the larger picture horizon, going to be in for a rude awakening very soon. Can't hide from the tsunami that's coming. We face converging cataclysms on countless fronts. This is a fact. And I know for many, and I hear this from many, can't I talk about something positive? No, I won't do that. Because we have done that for so long that now we have almost no chance of changing course. If there are things that need to be done, you do it. When you're fighting a fire, and I know a fair bit about that, in bulldozers and on foot with saws, I've done a fair amount of that. You don't sit down and take a break and think the fire is going to wait for you. You can't do that. You have to continue on until the emergency is over. You have to face reality. On so many issues, this is true. Only by fully facing what's unfolding on every front, choosing the top priorities first, you must pick the biggest hole in the bottom of the boat first, or the boat's going to go down and nothing else will matter. And we're right back to climate engineering. And if we could expose climate engineering and the whole world population understood that they have been irreparably damaged, their air has been poisoned, their waters have been poisoned, their atmosphere has been torn apart, the hydrological cycle has been dropped, and I'll get to more of that in a few moments with new headlines. If we could wake world populations up to that fact, and this will take all of us, we could cause a paradigm shift. Doesn't mean our problems are over. Not at all. Our challenges are just beginning. But it means we would have taken a quantum leap in the right direction, and we would have exposed at that point that populations around the globe are not only expendable to the global power structure, but we are an increasing liability. And ultimately, the agenda with what's happening in our skies, with vaccinations, with the fluoridated water, with so many other issues, can only be considered programs of genocide by the power structure. We must consider this genocide. There's no other rational conclusion. It's not the only reason it's being done, because to consider that the only reason is to ignore everything else I've tried to educate listeners on. The biosphere is imploding. They're trying to hide that. They're using weather as a weapon. So many issues to consider. It's not a simple this or that equation. But ultimately, when we combine it all, it must be clear, you can't conclude otherwise, that the power structure is absolutely trying to diminish the population's ability to stand up against their agenda. We can't think clearly, we're not healthy, we're getting poisoned at a higher scale by the day, and there's no arguing that. That's not theory, it's not conjecture, it's not hypothesis. When you dump industrial waste in the water, that's poisoning. When you put toxic heavy metals in vaccinations that are neurotoxins, that's a form of poisoning the population. And when you spray toxic heavy metals into the atmosphere, that also is a form of poisoning the population with very clear and scientifically documented effects. This is genocide along with planetary omnicide and ecocide. So again, energy net negatives. Back to the energy situation, trying to fuel the beast, the military-industrial complex, as long as possible. Scouring energy from everywhere. And in regard to energy recovery, this must be considered also. I've covered this in past programs. At the turn of the 20th century in 1900, it took about one barrel of energy to get 100 out of the ground, 1 to 100. Now, because energy reserves are depleting so rapidly, it takes about one barrel of energy to get 6 out of the ground on average. And then you have the worst examples like the tar sands where you're actually losing energy to gain a different form of energy. How much sense does that make? Food shortages are expanding around the globe, and if you think you're nice and safe here in America, think again. America, land of the endless money printing by central bankers in order to fund a completely unsustainable society built on off-the-scale consumption, and a military larger than the next 10 countries combined, a military which is used to strip other countries of their resources at gunpoint, not about freedom and democracy. You're still in that delusional mindset, wake up. And I see people driving around with their flags on their cars that I would bet have absolutely no idea of what their country's doing in their name. And as I've stated on a previous program recently, I have every right to criticize what my country's doing. I live here, and I have given back as much as I could, from bleeding, sweating, and crying in the forest to try to restore habitat in this once great country. Trying to restore habitat on an industrial scale until it became clear that that was futile because of the disintegrating climate, which was being fueled by climate engineering, which was being carried out by our own government, destroying the hydrological cycle, shredding the ozone layer, toxifying the rain, which is destroying the root systems, the forest that I was trying to help restore were being completely decimated from climate engineering being carried out by our own government. Why wouldn't I criticize our government for that? And everyone involved, every military member, every industry member, everyone involved with the cover-up from official agencies, which I work with, USDA, U.S. Forest Service. I've gone over this in previous programs. I know a lot of people in these regions of academia who know this is going on, who know climate engineering is happening, and they won't say a word for the same reasons that Dell Bigtree stated at the beginning of this program. I read Dell's quote, because it's a very bad career decision. So they stand by and watch the entire ship going down. And are those the honorable Americans? Really? Those who blindly wave their flags and won't criticize anything because it could hurt their paychecks and pensions? That's not patriotism. That's tyranny. Absolute tyranny. So if you think that you're safe in this country and you're immune from what's happening to the rest of the world and what our country is doing to further fuel the disintegration of the Earth's life support systems and global stability, you're sadly mistaken, because the proverbial reality is coming home to roost very, very soon. Another headline: United States Senate is heightening its global confrontational approach and announced that it intends to penalize Russia for a number of supposed misdemeanors. This is along the same lines of the theme I just ranted about. Lindsey Graham, Senator Lindsey Graham, told CBS News that the Senate will, quote, punish Russia for interfering in our elections. Interfering how? We have no proof at all that Russia has done anything in that regard. And if we're discussing about the emails that proved Hillary Clinton is a criminal, how in the world could you possibly penalize anyone for helping to release that fact? And why hasn't Trump followed through with prosecuting Hillary Clinton? Where are all the Trump supporters on that point? Not a word. Let's just pretend Trump's our man. He's going to save the day, just like people with Obama did the same. Just like people with Bush and Clinton did the same. Let's all just blindly follow our latest puppet from the power structure and pretend they're going to fix everything. Total delusion. So, back to Lindsey Graham stating we're going to penalize Russia concerning the allegations that there's not been, again, not one shred of proof provided by anyone. And let's all consider, if there was a shred of proof, the tiniest shred of proof, it would have been leaked to the media long ago. So this is the unimaginably absurd excuse for our military-industrial complex to put sanctions against Russia, more sanctions, because of the emails, which there was never any proof offered, which only exposed the crimes of Hillary Clinton. But what's it all about, really? And where does Trump fit into this? And is he really on the other side of the fence from the power structure? I would argue no. He's simply a prop in the play, again, as Obama was, as Bush was, as Clinton was. So where's this all going? Wait, before I get to that, let me read one more quote by Senator Graham. Senator Graham stated this as a message to Mr. Trump. He said, "You're the commander-in-chief. You need to stand up to Russia. We're never going to reset our relationship with Russia until we punish them for trying to destroy democracy." And all that starts with more sanctions. Again, all of this, everything I've just gone over, is nothing but mass distraction to hide from public view the fact that the biosphere is imploding, the military-industrial complex is absolutely desperate, and it all comes back to fueling that juggernaut of insanity, making sure that that monster, if you will, has enough resources to keep going. So here's a headline that weaves into this. Russia sanctions, U.S. ploy to dominate Europe's energy market. That's what it all comes down to in the end, isn't it? From that report, the U.S. Senate's recent vote to impose new sanctions against Russia could potentially disrupt collaboration between Russia and Europe firms in the energy industry. Shortly after the vote, the German foreign minister and Austrian chancellor warned that the U.S. is using new sanctions against Russia to further its own economic interests. And what's that about? Right now, the U.S. has about 2%, I believe, of the energy market in Europe. Russia has about 38%. That's about trying to alter that equation. That's about trying to shut down a pipeline. Again, we're back to a pipeline. What happened in Syria? Syria refused to allow Western powers to run a pipeline across their country, and their country was taken down. Gaddafi, Saddam Hussein were refusing to trade oil in dollars, petrodollars. Taken down. All of this part of the plan, all going back to pre-9/11, when the Project for a New American Century, which Wolfowitz, Rumsfeld, Cheney, and the rest were all part of it, and they stated they needed a, quote, new Pearl Harbor to galvanize the American population to support their military intervention programs in search of resources, and then we have 9/11, the new Pearl Harbor. All part of the plan. 1 week later, General Wesley Clark told every country that would be taken down for all the reasons I've just cited, and all comes back down to fueling the juggernaut of insanity. And the same with the Russian sanctions, which is affecting now a pipeline to be run across the Baltic Sea to try to shut that down, to force Europe to use U.S. low-grade, energy net negative fuel. Do you see the picture? So we're going to use our food supply, our corn, our shale, by poisoning all the water supplies to export energy. And everybody's jumping up and down because Trump's going to make America great again by stripping our remaining food supply, using it for fuel, selling it to Europe, forcing Europe to buy it because they've shut down Russia with sanctions. Can you see what a big, twisted, massive mess this is? And in the meantime, the planet is imploding. And let's get to some of those headlines now. I'm running out of time. Here's another one. Again, as the biosphere implodes, the economy will follow. The elites understand that. The elites are privately warning about a crash. Yes, it's coming. It can't not happen. And this is not a bump in the road. It's the end of the road from what we've known. To summarize, again, as the biosphere implodes, the completely unsustainable construct of modern industrialized society will follow. There's no other possibility. And we need to accept that fact and attempt to try to face it as soon as possible, that we might still salvage something, as opposed to keeping the party going, the fossil fuel fiesta, until the last possible moment, at which time everything implodes. That's game over if we stay on that course. Another headline, back to the environment. A Nebraska-sized area of forest disappeared in 2015. A Nebraska-sized chunk of the world's forests were decimated in 2015 because of wildfire. We can relate that back to climate engineering most completely. Yes, the planet's warming. Yes, there's a lot of causes, anthropogenic causes. But in regard to forest fire burn downs, the single greatest causal factor is climate engineering. Disrupts the hydrological cycle, the rain cycle, tearing apart the ozone layer, which is killing the trees from above with intense UV radiation, poisoning the soils with toxic rain, bioavailable metals, more dry lightning because of the electrically conductive atmosphere. So many of the causal factors for the increased forest fires are linked directly to climate engineering. So we're losing massive amounts of forest. What happens then? We have feedback loops that are triggered. Much more CO2 goes in the atmosphere, warming the planet even further. Soot settles down on ice. I'll get to more on those stories in a moment. And we have warming oceans then that release methane that make the planet even more warm. Feedback loops are all triggered now, perhaps 50 or more. We're in the fast track to a very different planet, a very inhospitable planet. Continuing from this report, logging and expanding palm oil plantations, this is the more tropical regions, according to a new study, is a continuing trend of deforestation that could have devastating impacts for the climate. Now, again, so many of these articles could have. We're back to, if you put a gun to your head and pull the trigger, you could have a problem. Of course you'll have a problem. You leap off a 100-story building. You could get hurt when you hit the sidewalk. Of course. So this is how academia always tries to downtone a little bit what they say, because if they don't, they get fired. About 49 million acres of forest disappeared worldwide in 2015. 49 million acres. mainly in North America and the tropics. And that's not completely true because Siberia is losing a tremendous amount of acreage. I think they lost near 100 million acres in 2013. Where's that statistic? If the deforestation trend continues, it will become increasingly less likely that countries will stop global warming. We're back to the same type of statement, aren't we? If you continue to leap out in front of semi-trucks on the freeway, chances are you're going to get hurt. Well, of course you're going to get hurt. This is the same type of non-definitive statements we see in all these articles. To stop global warming from exceeding 2 degrees C, which is 3.6 degrees Fahrenheit, by the way, above pre-industrial levels, the primary goal of the Paris Climate Agreement, which the Paris Climate Agreement is nothing but distraction, and data indicates we are already perhaps likely past 3.5 degrees C right now. We are perhaps past the baseline at which humans have inhabited this planet. Think about that. I want to continue. A lot to cover. I'm getting behind. Tropical Iceland, a new warm record of 82 degrees Fahrenheit was recorded in Iceland yesterday. This was several days ago. Another headline, sea level rise, sea level fears as Greenland darkens. Listen for this headline, or this report, because it's the same type of report I said yesterday. Could, might, may. Nobody's definitive. Scientists are, quote, very worried that the melting of the Greenland ice sheet could accelerate and raise sea levels more than expected. If the Greenland ice sheet melts, it will radically raise sea level rise. There's no could about it. But all these reports state things in a manner that ensures, apparently, that these articles won't be pulled off and screened out by the fossil fuel industrial complex. So they have to state things in a very non-definitive manner, and we would be wise to consider that. I want to continue with this report. Greenland is the largest mass of ice in the northern hemisphere, covering an area of about 7 times the size of the United Kingdom and reaching up to 3 kilometers, 2 miles, in thickness. This means that the average sea level would rise around the world by about 7 meters, more than 20 feet, if it all melted. That's why Greenland, though remote, is a focus of research which has direct relevance to major coastal cities as far away as Miami, London, Shanghai, and low-lying areas in Bangladesh and parts of Britain, all over the globe. Very slight sea level rise is going to cause cataclysm. It's already happening. But what don't the climate scientists tell you? What do they hide in the reports that some are still ranting, as I covered earlier in this show, as alarmism or hoax, which is nonsense? The severity of what's unfolding with the climate is exponentially worse than the worst-case scenario that's being recorded by any mainstream sources at this point. Climate engineering further fueling that fire, but we're not being told. So in this report about Greenland, what's their primary focus? Algae. Algae was first observed in the Greenland ice sheet more than a century ago, but until recently, its potential impact was ignored, like many other things have been ignored. Only in the last few years have researchers started to explore how the microscopically small plants could affect future melting. How are they affecting it? They're making the ice dark. The algae is making the ice dark, and that causes it to absorb exponentially more sun from the now shredded ozone layer, which is pouring in massive UV radiation, which is very penetrating. Easy to feel this on your skin, surface of cars. So all these feedback loops are kicking in, and none of it has been considered by the climate science community. None of it, including methane. Massive methane buildup in the atmosphere, not from cow flatulence, but from, not that that's not a problem, or deforestation, that's a problem. But the much bigger problem is thawing methane reservoirs in the sea surface, the seabed, and in tundra. So we have massive methane expulsion filling the atmosphere. That's why nighttime lows are not cooling down. Back to geoengineering. What's its effect? And ultimately, again, geoengineering is weather warfare, period. What's it doing to the hydrological cycle? Which countries are being targeted? Here's a headline that directly implicates weather warfare. North Korea experiencing extreme drought, UN agency reports. What a surprise. So here's the country that we're told is a threat to world peace, and they can't even feed themselves. And the hypocrisy that our country can test thousands of nuclear weapons, but they can't test any. And I'm not saying that the North Korean leader is saying he's not. But all we're doing is poking and prodding him in a country that can't even feed themselves. From this report, the UN Food and Agriculture Organization released a report on Thursday that detailed a prolonged dry period in North Korea. This prolonged drought is crushing production of staple crops such as rice, corn, potatoes, and soybeans. Quote, threatening food security for a large part of its population. The agency in North Korea added that they will need significant imports from other nations to fill the gap caused by the drought. Now, I've already stated in previous programs, the U.S. is importing statistically, tens of billions of dollars of food from other countries to fill our shelves so that the American population doesn't wake up to the fact that the biosphere is imploding on many fronts. So North Korea, that can't even feed themselves, are pushed by our mainstream media as being a threat to world security. It's all part of the military-industrial complex paradigm I've been outlining on this program. More headlines. Thirsty city after months of water rationing, Nairobi may run dry. This is very serious there. For the team managing Nairobi's water, the stakes have never been so high. Water rationing has been going on in Kenya's capital since January 1st, 2017, and supplies may run completely dry by September. City of 3.2 million, no water. What happens then? And it's happening all over the world. Again, completely disrupted hydrological cycle. You cannot have less rain on a warming world unless you consider climate engineering, which is completely ignored by the environmentalist communities and the climate science communities. For good reason, in many ways, with the climate science community, they will be fired or worse. But at what point do they stop caring about their job and help us to save what's left of the ship on which we all float? And for the environmentalist communities, their hypocrisy is unimaginable to me. Absolutely unimaginable. They blindly follow their leaders who will not address the climate engineering issue because it could jeopardize their 501c nonprofit. Same with these spiritual institutions across the board. Not picking on any particular one. I was just in a number of them in Northern California to distribute flyers for a free public awareness event with world experts on vaccination issue, Kevin Shipp with the CIA, geoengineeringwatch.org presenting climate engineering data, and without exception, none of these spiritual institutions wanted any of the data, even for a free event, to educate them on issues that they are required by their own scriptures to face. None of them willing to face reality. Had a hard time even leaving a single flyer with congregations of several thousand. They don't want to know. They want to sit in a pew and pretend that it's all taken care of for them. And I would challenge them to show me in their scriptures where it says that's okay, because it doesn't. I've been through biblical texts twice. I've studied all the major religions. None of them allow apathy. None of them. Once you know the truth, you are responsible to do something about it, and none of them want to know. And again, same behavior in environmentalist communities, Greenpeace, Sierra Club, all the same. They don't want to know. The epitome of hypocrisy. Environmentalist and spiritual communities with exceptions. There are exceptions. I'm not saying there isn't. But the majority. Pitiful. Water rationing in Rome. Another headline. This is happening again in countries all over the globe. And you have 7% more moisture held in the atmosphere for every degree C of warming. We must have more rain. And the climate engineering issue is what's keeping that from happening. Reflective particles thwart the evaporative cycle. They thwart convection, which also reduces the evaporative cycle. This is part of what the climate engineers are trying to do. It doesn't mean we don't have deluges. We're going to have increasing deluges. In fact, this buildup is occurring. We're going to have extremes in both directions. And the climate engineers use areas of water to try to cool down certain parts of the country or the world. I'll get to more of that in a moment. So you have extremes in both directions, but the single greatest climate disrupting factor is climate engineering. But by no means, as many want to quote me as saying, that climate engineering is the only problem. That is absolutely patently false. Every form of human activity that affects the energy balance of the planet is a form of geoengineering. Think about that. That's rational. Another headline, the doomsday clock, 2.5 minutes to midnight, ever closer to nuclear war. Unfortunately, the doomsday clock scientists don't even ever publicly mention the rapidly accelerating biosphere implosion, which is ultimately behind the dwindling resources that are the core causal factor of escalating global conflict. And thus, back to the nuclear threat, which is what they focus on, but there are other underlying issues that are ultimately fueling that threat, the quest for resources in an imploding biosphere. Another headline. This is critical. Old ice cover in the Arctic has shrunk to only 6%, about 1/20th of what it was. This is critical. The only thing keeping the Arctic statistics out of headlines right now is massive chemical ice nucleating efforts, which creates a chemically induced slush on the surface that official agencies are considering ice pack. It's not ice pack. The long-term ice in the Arctic is almost completely gone, If we don't have a blue ocean event in the Arctic, which means a complete disintegration of the ice pack this year, it will be next year, about 100 years ahead of schedule. Nobody's talking about that. Just political theater, like all that I've gone over, the Russia bit, the theater with Trump and Clinton, and all the things that we're distracted by while the planet implodes. Why is the Arctic so important? Because when that ice is gone, the ocean will absorb 90% of the sun's thermal energy instead of reflecting 90%. That will radically increase the already radically warm oceans, further releasing methane on the sea floor because it's thawing and releasing. And by the way, methane can't thaw and release on a cold or a cooling planet. Can't happen. Things thaw because they get warmer, radically warmer. That methane is migrating through the water column into the atmosphere where it's covering the planet like a layer of glass. It's happening now. So as that old ice disintegrates and the chemically nucleated slush is all that's left in the Arctic, and it's happening in Antarctica too, we face unimaginable feedback loops happening now. Here's a new headline from Newsweek. Climate change and this is a very perplexing story, by the way. Climate change and geoengineering, artificially cooling planet Earth by thinning cirrus clouds. The total delusion being pushed by our cowards in mainstream media, absolute cowards. But this one is particularly perplexing. Over recent decades, scientists from across the globe have been discussing the potential of geoengineering, the deliberate manipulation of the environment that could, in theory, cool the planet, as if it hasn't been going on for 70 years and doing immense damage already. So again, we have total lies of omission from media and the climate science community. And in this article, what it discusses is the upper-level, quote-unquote, cirrus clouds, which we know to be particulate clouds produced by solar radiation management and geoengineering, not admitted to in this article, that they are actually warming the planet, not cooling it, but warming it. And this article goes on to try to suggest that we should find a way of geoengineering those clouds out of existence, and that would help cool the planet. How completely absurd is this story from Newsweek? So they talk about the upper level cirrus clouds, which again are in most cases particulate clouds formed from geoengineering, from the geoengineering particulates, solar radiation management. And they admit that that's warming the planet further and that we should use geoengineering to get rid of those clouds. Do you not see the irony here? All we need to do is stop geoengineering. We wouldn't have those particulate clouds in the first place that are also destroying the ozone layer. We're reaching new levels of insanity with what's being pushed at us from the media and the climate science community. And the population, all too often, just walks away. They don't want to know. They don't want to try to sort through it. They don't want to figure it out. They don't want to do their part. And if we stay in this equation of total apathy with the population that doesn't attempt to investigate anything, that, in fact, a population that could probably recite certain sports icons going back who knows how far, but they can't recite anything that relates in any way to the bigger picture or the greater good. That's a society that is doomed to its own extinction. And that is absolutely the road we are on. Another headline. And this is, I'm only giving a few examples. Anybody who chooses to search the term geoengineering, climate engineering, solar radiation management can find many new articles and studies every single day. And let's consider the absurdity of that. All of these articles that describe exactly what we see in our skies, describe exactly the consequences we are seeing happening, destroyed ozone layer, disrupted hydrological cycle, fires all over the globe, massive amounts of toxic heavy metals raining down on all of us, the human health statistics to back it up, dementia and Alzheimer's now, as I went over in previous shows, directly, indisputably with science study, proven to be a core causal factor with aluminum, primary element in climate engineering, and we see number one cause of death in parts of Europe and now in the U.S., number one, Alzheimer's and dementia, everything we would expect to have with climate engineering, which we can see with our own eyes, is happening. But we have an entire field of academia pretending it isn't happening. We have entire populations all over the globe blindly, thoughtlessly, without any reason whatsoever, accepting the official narrative, ignoring what they see with their own eyes. And the videos we have posted at geoengineeringwatch.org, and we just put another one up yesterday, that is absolutely, indisputably an aircraft dispersing aerosols turning on and off. It can't be rationally denied, and yet people deny it because they want to believe the lie. They want to believe their lives are going to go on as they are. They're going to work, get old, retire, golf for the next 20 years. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. I'm sorry to be the bearer of that kind of news, but it has to be faced. It must be faced by all of us, not only a few of us, but all of us. And people who want solace will choose to face reality. There's no solace in hiding your head in the sand. None. There's only solace in knowing you're doing the right things for the right reasons, and that no matter what else happens, that can't be taken from you. It can't be taken. Someone can put a gun at your head, and they can't take a motive that was honorable and virtuous and attempting to do something for the common good. And each of us has that choice. Each of us. And if we don't make that choice, we'll continue to live in fear and anguish and angst. Make the choice to face the storm fully, not half-heartedly. That's where strength lies, and only there. More headlines. Hottest day ever in Shanghai as heat wave bakes China. Don't hear that much here, do we? No, we hear the Weather Channel ranting about the little cool down, just to going slightly below normal is some major event now as the world incinerates. Climate engineering everywhere. And in California, West Coast, I hear so many people saying and thinking that they're not spraying over the top of us anymore. They absolutely are. It dissipates and keeps the sky silvery white. Much of it goes on in the early morning hours. And off our coast, it's absurd. The spraying is absurd, which is visible on NASA satellite imagery every day. And I've posted this over and over. Massive spray fests off our coasts, helping to kill what life is left in the oceans there. From this report from Shanghai, Shanghai sweltered under the new record highs of 105 degrees on Friday, authorities said as they issued weather red alert over stubborn heat wave that has plagued much of the country, same as the west coast of the U.S. High pressure zones put in certain regions creating the heat, further augmenting the heat in order to try to cool off other areas of the planet at the cost of a worsened overall warming. But all forms of human activity that affect the energy balance are a form of climate engineering. Another headline, climate change is killing us right now. The most obvious effect of global warming, this is from that report, is not a doomsday scenario. Extreme heat is happening today and wreaking havoc on vulnerable bodies. Another headline, mountains are warming twice as fast as the rest of the world. And the polar regions warming much faster also, by the way. Above 4,000 meters in elevation, the rate of warming has increased by an astounding 75% in just the last 20 years. All these headlines were not told. While we're shown political theater and distraction, and how many are willing to participate in that, thinking it must all be fine because there wouldn't be new cars for sale or new homes for sale or new movies coming out of the theater. Everything couldn't be that bad if, or all this wouldn't still be happening, right? That's part of the distraction. Keep life looking normal. Feed the normalcy bias until the last moment, at which time we hit the wall at full velocity. Back to the example of the human race being compared to the occupants of a car that just crashed through the guardrail in free fall to the bottom of the canyon, and the occupants are arguing over what station to put the radio on. Bottom line is the biosphere. That's what matters. If the biosphere stops supporting life, it's game over for us. Geoengineers continue to fry the U.S. West, as I mentioned, under a constant dome of ionosphere heater-induced high pressure. The clockwise rotation of the upper air currents around this high pressure dome is utilized to engineer the chemical ice nucleated cool down zone further east in the U.S., which is going to happen in the next week, and to help hold some of the remaining cooler air in the Arctic in order to slow the rapidly accelerating Arctic ice implosion. All of the actions of the climate engineers are making the overall warming of the planet far worse, not better. The climate engineers are completely disrupting the natural cycles of the planet and completely contaminating the entire biosphere. Let's remember all of that. But back to the bottom line priority for the human race, logically, rationally, mathematically, the greatest threat we collectively face, short of nuclear cataclysm, is the ongoing climate engineering assault. Climate engineering is nothing short of weather and biological warfare. Climate engineering is the absolute epitome of human hubris and insanity. If you're not helping to sound the alarm on the climate engineering assault, why not? If you're not helping to sound the alarm on the lethal vaccination dangers and all the other converging catastrophes that we face, why not? Make your voice heard while it still matters. Until next week, this is Dane Wigington with GeoengineeringWatch.org.